Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
And once again, we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus on the program. We're trusting that you are learning that the Lord our God is the faithful God, the very present help, and He is able to provide for us all that we need. In Christ, we are to be satisfied. We are to be content, realizing that the Lord has provided all that we need for this hour. And He tells us not to think about the things of tomorrow, for sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof, and we are to be content with such things as we have. So the Lord has called us here to serve Him. Now, the book that we want to briefly look at is the Gospel according to John. John is the book that whenever one is saved, we direct the new believers to the Gospel according to John. When people say they want to read the Bible, they want to start with Genesis and think they read it like a textbook. There's nothing wrong with reading it like that. But if you want to understand what the Bible is all about, I recommend that you start with the Gospel according to John. And if you don't understand it, read it again. And after you've read that and then you don't understand it, I recommend that you read it again. And after you don't understand it that time, I recommend that, you see what I'm saying? Just go to the Scriptures and the Lord will show you. See, you have to believe right about who the Lord Jesus Christ is if you're going to understand the Bible. And He presents Himself as God. He presents the Holy Spirit as God. He tells us that He is divine. He tells us of His call, showing that the relationship that He had with the Father was one that existed before the world was, that He was not, that He is not a creature, that He is God in flesh, that He was God before the foundation of the world, that He was not made. He is indeed God clothed in human flesh. And there are many times the Lord had personal conversations with people. There are some of these conversations, such as the time that He talked with Nicodemus. He talked with Peter, Nathaniel. He also have several miracles recorded in this book. And these miracles, again, are attesting to the power of the Lord Jesus, that He is God in the flesh. And there are miracles that are found in this book that are found in no other book. They're found only in this one. For example, He made water into wine. He healed the nobleman's son. He healed a man who laid by the pool of Bethesda. He also healed a man who was born blind. He raised the dead man, Lazarus, who had been dead 4 days. And He also was able to tell the apostle Peter how to catch fish. And this was, again, a demonstration of the power, rather, of the Lord. Whenever you want to be encouraged of God's love for you, get the book of John down and read it, and memorize it if you want to. You'll be blessed all the more. So He tells us much about Himself when we read the Gospel according to John. We learn how to trust the Lord. We learn the purpose for which He came. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. If you want to know why the Lord Jesus came, He came to save sinners, and He can do that. He will save sinners. He can deliver you. There is no sinner that the Lord Jesus cannot deliver. His power to save is to the uttermost. He can save a soul. You come to Jesus. He tells you, if you come to Him, He won't cast you out. He won't turn you aside. He will receive you into His family. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for this time we have with Thee in prayer. We ask for Thee to bless the program, bless Thy people, soften hearts, send revival into our midst, dear Lord. We need to hear from heaven. Show forth Thy mighty hand at this hour, for Jesus' sake. Amen. In the book of Genesis now, We have been looking in chapter 45 at the response of the brethren of Joseph. Judah has made his plea, and Joseph's heart has been softened. And he breaks down and he weeps loudly, and he lets them know that he is Joseph, their brother, whom they sold into slavery, whom they would have killed had they not had a better opportunity to make some money off the deal. They would have killed him. And so as far as they're concerned, he's dead. And so as far as righteousness and truth is concerned, they're murderers. And Joseph now has the upper hand and tells them in verse 5, "Therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves." Now, there are people who do this. You know that they're angry with themselves and they're grieved and they are bearing such a burden because of something they've done in the past. They can't get forward. They can't go on because of this thing that is hanging heavily on them. Be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. So Joseph again is looking upon the hand of the Lord as having been encased in a velvet glove. Joseph was and had an iron hand, but the Lord was carrying Joseph along. It hurt to be rejected as he was, but he was carried by the mighty hand of the Lord, and Joseph has recognized the hand of God in the matter. He says in verse 6, "For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land." So now Joseph has been away from his brothers for 15 years. He left at the age of 17. He was in prison for 2 years. Now he has been, and he was in, of course, Potiphar's house for some time. And he's 30 when he ascends to the throne, when he becomes prime minister. So he's 32 years old now. And all of these years have passed by. 15 years now has been in the making of this man for this hour. You know, if he had been harboring bitterness, what do you think he would have been like? 15 years of a heart filled with bitterness. And to have the opportunity to now to unleash that bitterness. Oh, there would have been a terrible thing, but he didn't harbor bitterness. I don't think he would have lived that long. There are many people who are harboring bitterness, childhood pain and anxiety, difficult situations that were brought upon them in childhood, and oh, how they hurt. They haven't dealt with them properly. Be like Joseph was. "For God did send me before you to preserve life." Are you a Christian now? When you get saved, when you got saved, then bitterness should have been on that boat of the things that went out. And if you recognize that you haven't forgiven someone for some hurt they've caused you in the past, then get that settled. If bitterness has been the one thing that you've been, you know, I've heard of people saying, "If I get saved, I have to forgive so-and-so." I've heard that. Now, they were willing to hate someone knowing full well that if they get saved, they must forgive others, and they don't want to do that. Is that hatred helping them? They want to see someone hurt. They want to see someone suffer as they've suffered. Can you trust God with that situation? Will you trust the Lord to make that right? And would you get on with the business of life and living? God's got a plan. Joseph said, "You did this, but God sent me before you to preserve life, to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance." So the Lord had a great job for Joseph. So it required great training and great discipline. He had to have iron in his soul to be able to stand up to the pressure and the problems that he was going to face in during this time. Verse 8 of Genesis 45. "So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God." Again, Joseph is not just talking pious. His heart is there in the words that he's speaking. And he wants to comfort these who are hurting for what they have done in the past. Now, here is a challenge for you. You've been hurt. Can you stand on your hurt to reach higher to help someone? Or will you stand on your hurt and reach down to pull someone up above the hurt that they know, rather than to let your hurt pull you down? It's in the past. It's a training tool, an instrument, an obstacle course over which you were going, preparing for the war, for the service of the Lord. I'll use a military illustration. When I left home at the age of 18, arrived at Parris Island, South Carolina, they started us training us. Vietnam was on at that time, and so we didn't know where we were going to go after training. But a part of the training consisted of physical breakdown and then building us up, mental breakdown and building us up, learning to discipline ourselves. Then there was one part of the training, the obstacle course, climbing ropes, sliding down ropes, doing all kinds, learning to swim, many things, the training, the preparation. But that was just a small part for the real thing. The Lord has a small part for you to play. You think the training is difficult? Wait until the real matter comes along. And Joseph said, "But God hath made this. He brought this upon me. He brought me here, and he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and a lord and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt." Notice, he gives the glory to the Lord, the glory that is due the Lord's name. Joseph didn't say, "You know, I worked hard for this position." He didn't say, "You know, I was better than everybody else and Pharaoh liked me better." No. Joseph recognized that he was where he was because God placed him there. And the Lord was still in charge. The Lord was in charge when Joseph was in prison. And that was Joseph's focus on serving the Lord. And the Lord is in charge when Joseph is on the throne. And he still has a focus on the Lord. That's what needs to be the case. Verse 9, "Haste ye, go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not." And so he is willing to help his family to come and help, or to be helped. "And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast, and there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty." Again, Joseph nurtured no bitterness. He was willing to recognize that the things that came into his life had to pass by the hand of God, and God was preparing him for that moment. Dear Heavenly Father, may we have wisdom to recognize that the Lord uses situations to bring us to the place of his service, his choosing, and help us to be faithful in that hour. We ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, join us again for another program of Light for the Pathway. I'm Willie Thompson.